Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to NJPW Puro Wrestling Review. I am your co-host, Andrew C. Right over here, it's the finally fixed her shit princess. It's Melball. How you doing, Melball?
Whoa. That almost makes it sound like I got my actual shit together. He's only referring to getting the laptop functional with everything attached to it. I'm still all kinds of broken. False advertise me, sir.
Oh, yeah. She's all kinds of broken. She got her computer. I showed up at her place this morning, fixed her computer. This was all supposed to be recorded last yesterday. Night to come out today, but it's being recorded in the afternoon, coming out in the evening. It's changing it up. And if you're listening on SNME, it's out whenever it comes out.
I mean, it wouldn't be an Andre and Melball wrestling talk show if there wasn't some kind of technical mumbo jumbo bullshit going on. Today it was me. Yeah. Yay me. How are you doing?
I'm good. Worked out with Rich King this morning. Kicked my ass again, as usual. Came to the end of another month of sessions with him. We're moving into a new set of workouts next week. You said it's not going to dramatically change. We're going to add some new workouts in, take some old workouts out, you know, some fun stuff. So, yeah, it's progressing. I'm getting into smaller and smaller shirts. Mm-hmm. Even this one is one of my favorite shirts, and now it's getting too big on me because it's like so much space. And this used to be like form-fitting, so I think I'm doing well.
Okay, good. I was going to say your tone doesn't suggest that you're happy.
Oh, I'm very happy.
Change that.
I apologize. I am very, very happy. Is that better?
Yes. I expect to see confetti.
But again, it's just, this is one of my favorite shirts and it's getting too big for me. So that makes me sad.
I mean, now you can start doing what a Melball does with them and just like tying them in knots.
Yeah, it would look weird on a guy.
Hey, it's 2024.
Yeah, I'm good. Anybody can be what they want. I still conform to traditional look, male look, at least for myself. That's how I tend to roll. But everybody do what you want to do. Everybody is welcome.
We'll just flip it up in the front there.
Yeah, right. Well, then it ruins the spot that I want people to see. That's the even worse part.
That depends on how you roll it. We'll talk fashion later, my friend. We don't want to talk fashion on Puro Wrestling Review. We want to talk wrestling.
Oh, we're going to be talking fashion tonight. I'll tell you what. We're talking fashion on this show. We'll get to it. But we're going to get into it. We're talking the New Japan Cup Nights 4 and 5, which is the final night of the first round and the first night of the second round of action. I love the little banner that I found on their Twitter page. It looks really nice. We're going to start it off. Before we get into this first match, I'm going to talk about it. Just Five Guys versus Ishii, Yano, and the Gooch, Taguchi. No Doki Choki. No Doki Choki. So, yeah.
NGPW, you are failing.
Yeah, I think they're saving it for the big final show of the cup. They're saving the Doki Choki for.
I mean, it's getting us to watch everything in the meantime, right?
It's true.
Smart marketing.
So we're gonna jump into the cup matches as we've been doing here. The first cup match on the March 10th show, number 4. It is Mikey Nichols with Zack Sabre Jr. versus El Fantasmo with Jado. Nichols showing his power advantage early, dropping ELP with the shoulder blocks. ELP misses a drop kick. Nichols gets the sliding lariat. ELP strikes Nichols a couple times. Nichols drops him with one hard, brutal-looking shot. Chops him in the corner a few times. And he chops him so hard once that he goes flying over the top. ELP just flip-flopping everywhere, and I love it. hey, great, good Canadian boy. He's a good Canadian boy, ELP.
Sure.
Well, he is. He's good, and he's Canadian.
Yeah, it just you say good boy, and I'm just like, they make it sound like he listens. He clearly does not. That kind of walks to the beat of his own drum, that one.
Yeah. Yeah, inverted atomic drop into the Russian leg sweep. Or did I jump? I jumped. Ha ha, I'm bad at my job. Nichols goes up to the and gets a backdrop onto the apron. Nichols in the ring hits a delayed suplex for two. Then ELP fights back with chops, but is dropped with a hard chop of Nichols. ELP fights out the headlock, hits the drop kick, dropping Nichols. He hits strikes, the flying back elbow into the kip up, hits the inverted atomic drop, then hits the atomic drop into the Russian leg sweep, then the second rope elbow drop. That's where I was at. That's where I skipped to. Nichols. Oh, what? Go ahead.
I was going to say, speaking of jumping around and flip-flopping around, huh?
I'm just like ELP and flip-flopping around.
Good little Canadian boy.
Good Canadian boy. Nichols stops sudden death, but ELP gets a second rope crossbody, then hits the lion salt for two. ELP turns a power slam into the tornado DDT, sending Nichols out to the floor. ELP hits an acai moonsault to Nichols on the floor. ELP misses sudden death in the ring. Nichols gets a German, then absorbs a lariat from ELP and hits one of his own. ELP gets a small package for two, but Nichols comes back with the DDT and then hits the DDT and rolls through through the DDT and picks up ELP, puts him up top, then hits him with a superplex and then falls with a sliding lariat for two. Nichols goes to the top, which you don't really see from this dude, and he goes for the moonsault, but he crashes and burns. ELP hits the burning hammer and the sudden death super kick, but Nichols kicks out at 2.9. Nichols reverses CR2 into a jackknife pin. They roll around, shredding roll-ups, and ELP catches them with the crucifix pin for the win. I am 0-1 so far tonight.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, I was hoping, I was picking Nichols so that he gets a win over a tag team champion, and that over the, and then him and his boy Shane Hayes would get shots at the tag titles, and yeah, we could go from there. That's why I picked Nichols to win.
He gave up his tag team loss earlier in one of those little multi-tag things to whatever team Bolton Oleg was on, which I thought was a little, you know, weird, but I digress. It was very interesting to see the different personalities that these two guys gave us in this match and how well it worked together. Because Mikey Nichols, he's a playful guy in the ring, but he's like a playful, aggressive guy. He's very, I wouldn't say antagonistic, but like very intimidating, playful. Whereas ELP has become this just exactly what this picture looks like. It's kind of this goofy little playful guy while still doing the wrestling inside the ring. And to see the two personalities clash was very interesting, because I felt like ELP was almost like a little kid in this, just kind of like skipping around like, yeah, I'm in the New Japan Cup. And then Mikey Nichols was like, yeah, we're in the New Japan Cup. Get over here, little boy. Like it was a very interesting way to play this match. And for me, it made it really enjoyable and like really captivating to watch. Mm-hmm. What else? ELP reversing. I worked on a Mikey bomb going into that tornado DDT.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was.
Yeah. It was. I think it was a Blue Thunder bomb he reversed.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. It looked really cool. Just how he did it. It was just so sudden and so smooth. Mm. I really, really enjoyed that. I really felt that Nichols, especially in the last half of this match, when he was toward the end of the match, Nichols was really firing up those lariats and utilizing them a lot. And I loved it. He was really power flexing on ELP to try to put him down at the end. And I really enjoyed it, because it kind of turned up the intensity of the match a little out of the goofiness that ELP had set at the beginning of the match. I felt that that roll-up win was appropriate, just because both guys had kind of fired off all their like big moves to no avail. So I felt that it was like a nice little kind of sneaky way to end the match while still maintaining a strong look for both of these guys. Yeah, I felt this was a really, really strong cup match.
Yeah, me too. Again, really good. Like, again, it was odd seeing the pairing almost in a singles match, because you're used to seeing these guys with their partners, again, when they're stepping across the ring from each other. And just to see them in a singles was odd, but it worked so well. I think these two didn't clash. It seemed to work so well together.
Yes, yes. Whatever chemistry that they have, it works just effortlessly.
Shake the hand, kind of. Donde? What the?
Yeah, I gotta go.
Italian. Like, so good.
I gotta go.
We move on to the match I was least looking forward to in this whole review, because as much as I love Taichi and I think Brenda Rita is an amazing professional wrestler, tons of torture. Taichi versus Brenda Rita with Yoshinobu Kanemaru. Kanemaru kind of trying to keep Taichi out of the match before the match even starts. Taichi gets in. Kanemaru and Narita attack Taichi, but he fights them off, getting rid of Kanemaru. And Oleg Bolton doing his job, picking up Kanemaru and carrying him to the back.
And I know Kanemaru is like definitely smaller in comparison to Oleg.
He's running.
But he was like running. Like full on going.
Sprinting.
And he, a small flight of stairs across the stage. Like, let's go.
Like, it was not like jogging. He was running.
Yeah, like, full on. He was sprinting. Yeah, it was hilarious. I loved it. That was the funnest spot of the match.
That was a great spot. Narita takes Taichi to the floor, runs him into the barricade and the chairs. Narita gets a chair push and then shoves the ref, then hits Taichi on the floor with a chair. Taichi makes it back in at Mel's favorite spot. The back in at 19.
I didn't watch the undercards though, so I don't know either how many happened in there. So maybe this was the only one.
I only watched one, but I didn't really watch it. I watched it in like super fast forward mode. I'll admit that. Trying just watching for Doki spots.
Let down.
I'm only into just five guys for the Doki, you know. well, and Taichi too.
But you did it all for the Doki. Come on, the Doki.
The Doki.
Oh, continue, sir.
Narita does the slingshot under the bottom rope, but Marty Rosami decides I'm not going to count the pin, just because I guess Marty's does what he wants. He does what he wants. Narita gets a figure four headlock, but Taichi gets to the ropes. Taichi dodges out the corner, hits an enziguri to Narita in the corner. Narita rakes the eyes, but Taichi gets a hook kick. Narita rakes the eyes to stop the dangerous backdrop, and then he does that where he's like running the face over the ropes in the headlock. Narita with some very non-effective strikes to Taichi, and Taichi hits him once, sending him out to the floor. Taichi follows him out, throws him into the barricades a couple times, tosses Narita into the chairs. He chokes him with a chair. Taichi wants to use the push-up bar, but the ref stops him. And then Taichi stops the low blow, and he hits the head kick. Narita stops the super kick or the thrust kick, super kick, with the ref, using the ref, and gets a lariat dropping Taichi. He pulls out the Narita special, but he only gets two. Transitions to the rear naked choke, but Taichi fights out. But Narita gets the cobra twist, but Taichi gets to the ropes. So again, there's some really good work in here, but it's peppered in with some bullshit. Especially coming up here. Taichi stops the German suplex, so Narita shoves the rev, hits the low blow and the German for two. Tai Chi pushes the ref and hits Narita low. Then he gets a dragon sleeper. I actually liked that. He's like, fuck this. I'm going down to your level. I'm kicking you. I'm pushing the ref and kicking you in the dick.
Like, oh, and it was so good. Like, it was just one of those sudden things where it was like almost like Narita wasn't expecting it either. Like, mm-hmm. just the way it played so well, and the, just the clap. I honestly couldn't tell based on the angle if it was because Tai Chi is a bit of a thigh slapper. I couldn't tell if it was the slap or the slap on Narita, but god dang, when he kicked his balls, it was a loud clap.
Mm-hmm. But again, the crowd seemed to really respond to that too, because they're like, good, the guy's getting what he deserves for all the cheating he's doing. So he gets a low blow, gets the dragon sleeper, but Togo gets on the apron, distracts the ref as Narita taps out. Narita runs Tai Chi into the ref, all of House of Torture, then attack Tai Chi. They do dick to dick contact. But Narita can only get two. And then Narita hits the ref when Tai Chi like pushes him off. Narita intentionally like jumps off and like lands on the ref, taking him out. Just five guys come down to make the save, and then running the guys out. And Yuya Uemura and Sanada hit dual planchas. Dangerous backdrop by Tai Chi, and both men are down. Enziguri by Tai Chi. Another dangerous backdrop for two, but Jack Perry shows up and pulls out the ref. Perry attacks Tai Chi, flips off the crowd. He misses the knee. Tai Chi hits the axe bomber. Tai Chi kicks away the bar, the push-up bar, but hurts his foot when he kicked the bar. And Kanemaru comes in, gets the Kanemaru returns, hits the Santori surprise, hits Tai Chi with the bottle. Ren Narita then hits the axe factor and gets the win. I'm 1-1, so I picked Narita to win.
Because we knew there would be shenanigans. Yeah, and House of Torture doesn't travel solely.
And Tai Chi's not really a concern for the company right now, it seems. So, yeah.
Which is unfortunate because, like, he has honestly more personality and charisma than the captain of the team in Sonata.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he would be a better, not only captain of the team, but I feel like he would actually be a pretty decent title holder. I think we could potentially put our trust in Tai Chi to hold a higher title in this company and take it places. Like, he's got a very interesting and odd gimmick. And let's be honest, the North American crowd would lose their shit when he pantsed himself.
And again, the crowd would be like into the sing-along in his entrance, I think. Yeah.
It's a 100%. Very unique character. It like might seem a little odd on paper, but the way he like pulls it off, especially with his like expensive looking robe, is very, very good. The shenanigans in this one did take me a little bit in and out of it. Mm-hmm. I did have a lot of problems kind of keeping focus on it. Just because, again, House of Torture. It's really unfortunate because Ren Narita has gained so much personality in this faction. But the faction as a whole, I don't know. Like, each person seems to individually benefit from being a part of the faction. But a faction as a whole, we just don't seem to benefit.
No.
It just seems to be a big shit show every time all of them show up. Yep. But like, if none of the House of Torture people or just five guys had shown up, this could have been like
a classic.
Yeah. Could have been so good. I don't understand why all of the shenanigans need to happen. Like, a handful of them could happen and it would still be palatable. But like, the just the sheer volume and quantity of shenaniganism. Is that a word?
Well, it is now.
Melball lingo.
It's a Melballism.
That almost sounds like a brain injury. I lost my train of some thought there. ADHD. This was a good one, though. Otherwise, other than the shenanigans.
Hmm.
when there was wrestling match, it was good.
Yeah, when they were wrestling, I thought they flowed so well together. They worked so well together. It just Narita, they have him relying on all this bullshit and just takes away from his character so much.
Mm-hmm. Because it has developed a lot since joining the faction. It's just the faction itself just seems to be a bit of a bit.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. 100%. We move on. Final match of the first round. One of the matches I was looking for most forward to in the first round. It's Jeff Cobb versus Yota Tsuji. Crowd is loud for both guys here. The crowd is happy to see this. They lock up. Cobb gets Tsuji on the ropes, playing with his hair on the break. It was funny. And then Tsuji plays with Cobb's hair. They're trading strikes. Tsuji's trying to drop Cobb with the shoulder blocks, but Cobb eventually drops Tsuji with the shoulder blocks. Tsuji ends up hitting the Rana on Cobb, sending him to the floor, but he gets caught. Cobb catches him on the suicide dive. Cobb slams him on the apron, strikes on the floor by Cobb. He's attacking the back. Cobb gets that toss-style suplex in the ring, but he does that like a cocky one-hand pin and only gets two, and then he does a normal pin for two. Cobb steps, does that the step over Tsuji, and then picks him up, hits the pump handle suplex, and Tsuji ends up like rolling to the apron. Cobb gets on the second turnbuckle, brings Tsuji to the top, gets knocked off, but then Cobb, in his infinite athleticism, and I mean that big, should not be able to do what he does, jumps up in the air, kicks Tsuji in the head, who's on the top rope, like sitting on the top, kicks him in the head. Physics do not exist with this man. I don't understand it.
It's not fair.
Like Kevin Kelly, Walker, Chris, Gino Gamia, they all say it's not fair, and it's very true. He defies the laws of physics. It's crazy. He integrates him, and then he gets a super gut wrench suplex off the top, but can only get two because it took him a bit to get to the pin. Cobb says, "Show me what you got, young lion." Adam, I'm like, this is this fires Tsuji up, hits the boot in the corner, gets that leg trap face stomp where he grabs the head with the legs and slams it into the mat. Tsuji tries but can't get a suplex, and Cobb strikes, but Tsuji gets the head scissors, sending Cobb out, and Tsuji hits the suicide dive to the floor. Back in the ring, Tsuji gets the salmon splash for two.
That's what I call it.
Yeah, and that's what they called it on commentary, I'm very sure. And then hits the suplex, but again only gets two. Tsuji gets a backbreaker, that backbreaker flatliner face slam into the stomp, or goes for the stomp, but Cobb's like holds, like he literally in the push-up position, he's like, this ain't happening. They trade strikes, and then Tsuji does hit that backbreaker face slam stomp combo. He then hits Cobb with a flatliner, driving that face into the mat. Rampage like slam by Cobb, but he misses on the standing moonsault. Cobb dodges the stomp, hits the moonsault for two. They trade strikes and kicks. Tsuji drops Cobb. Tsuji gets out of the tour of the islands, but Cobb rolls the spear through. Tsuji hits the spear, but he rolls it through and like gets him up onto his shoulder and razor's edges his ass. Oh, it was so good. Both men are down. Great sequence, absorbing the spear like he did to roll him through into that razor's edge was so good. Just so smooth. Cobb gets a spin cycle for two, then hits the F5000 for two. Tsuji stuffs Tour of the Islands again, but gets hit with a lariat. And then Cobb hits the Gene Blaster, but Tsuji kicks out at 2.9. He ain't getting pinned by his own finishing move. Cobb calls for the Aloha Maker, but Tsuji fights it off with strikes and the headbutt and hits the stomp. Double jump off. I wrote double jump stomp. Oh, yeah. He went hopped up and then came down with the stomp. It confused me for a second. And then the off the shoulder spine buster, like spinning, it was like on, he was on his shoulder, then spun about into like a spine buster style move for a two by Suji. Suji then lines up Gene Blaster for the win. I'm 2-1 tonight. Let's go. The fact that I pick Khan to move on, every member of the United Empire is out of the tournament in the first round. This is what makes me sad.
Yeah, unfortunately, but like, I mean, TJP did have the unfortunates about being put in the one match with the one person who would have, like, you know, gone to war with him, right? Again. So, like, yeah. Ocon, can't remember who eliminated Ocon.
Loa. Tangaloa.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That's the one I really thought Khan was getting the win in. Because I didn't see them going Loa. But again, he's on his own now. They're probably trying to establish him a bit more. So I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, that's true.
And then after the match, though, Shingo and Naito come out. They all fished each other. And then Tsuji motions towards the title tonight, like Shingo did on the last show, on the third, I think it was. Yeah, on the third night. So, yeah. It's nice to see, like, these guys are, like, all competing for the same thing, but they don't. But they're all friends in the end. It's weird, but I like it. Like, if Tsuji wins this and takes that title from Naito, I'm not going to be mad about it. I'm gonna be like, it works. He's passing the torch. But I think it's a little too early for Tsuji to win the title. But then Okada got it when it pretty much got that title right after he came back from his excursion. So
it's true.
You never
That's
know.
That's true. Tsuji was my dark horse pick for the cup. That makes me happy to see him. Progressing pretty good. Yep. This match was freaking amazing. I love this match. It was awesome to see the story of, like, Tsuji trying to do his moves on Cobb and Cobb just being just a little too powerful for him, you know, blocking that suicide dive, blocking the curb stomp. Those were his usual kind of go-to domination kind of moves. And to have him have to work pretty hard for that in this match was just so good. I feel like this was a bit of a test for Tsuji, and who better than Jeff Cobb? I mean, Suji's already gone through Sonata. Also, he had another at Yuya Uemura a couple times now. Saved his hair, thank goodness. But yeah, this was just a strong power match, and it was very interesting to see the combination of styles, because Tsuji has such a unique style with that kind of power wrestling, but also that lucha libre craziness, which also has a little bit of technical background, but then Cobb just being that raw power but also crazy athleticism words. And a very unique styling in his own right. It was so fun to see them combine. Like, the chemistry these two had was absolutely perfect. Mm-hmm. Love this match.
Yeah, again, absolutely tremendous, man. Like, these two killed it, and easily it's one of the best matches coming out of this first round. There's a couple that we've talked about that were just absolutely barn burners, but this was one of them.
Oleg and Hikaleo. Holy shite.
Well, Finley and TJP was an absolute fire match. There's some great matches coming out of this first round. That's for sure.
For shizzle,
moan, fizzle. So that's it for the first round of action. So everybody, that you can see it here, I'm going to full screen it, but I'm not going to double click this time. I'm just going to do what I'm supposed to do. So you have Sonata facing Yoshihashi in the second round. Jack Perry versus Toriano in the second round. David Finley versus Tangaloa in the second round. I got half of that, right? And I got half of the Sonata. I didn't pick Yoshihashi to win that one into that match. You got Chase Owens versus Hirooki Goto, which I have Ishii in that match, and then I have Ishii winning that match. So I guess I've picked wrong in both of those.
Uh-oh.
You have Evil versus Hikuleo. You have, which I'm sadly, I picked Evil to win. Shingo Takagi versus Gabe Kidd in the next round, which I think I can't remember who I gave that one to. Yoda Tsuji versus E LP, but it was supposed to be in my bracket. It was Yoda Tsuji versus Mikey Nicholls. But either way, I had Yoda Tsuji going on to the quarterfinals. Mm-hmm. And then you got Ren Narita versus Zack Sabre Jr., which I picked Zack Sabre Jr. to beat Ren Narita. So let's hope that happens on the 15th. Please, God, please.
Say your prayers, Andre. Say your prayers.
Yeah, say my eat prayers. Eat my vitamins. Yeah, all that fun stuff that I don't believe that man anymore. nobody should believe
yes, that.
We move on. We're going into the first the first night of the second round, March 11th, night number 5. Before we get into this one, we had El Desperado, Tomoyuki Mihanma, and Tomohiro Ishii versus just 5 guys, Doki, Taichi, and Yuji Murata. And no Doki Choki.
Bruh. Why?
Made me sad. No proper Doki Choki.
God dang it.
Yeah, I know.
Can you imagine the pop that we're going to give, though, when it finally does happen?
Oh, I'm going to be celebrating on this show. I'm going to come on going, Doki Choki, Doki Choki. That's how I'm going to open the show, just me yelling, Doki Choki.
Well, yeah. Finally.
So we start with Toriano versus Jack Perry. Fuck.
Yeah, this was a struggle.
Both these matches were a struggle for me. These first two matches of the second round. Oh boy. The main event was better than this, but it was still just okay. In my personal opinion, because I don't know. So Perry attacks Yano during his intro. Yano uses a cold spray, gets a couple roll ups. Yano gets the corner pad, tosses it to Perry, rolls him up, but Perry gets a drop kick after kicking out. Perry sends Yano out, distracts the ref as Yujiro attacks Yano. Perry runs Yano into the barricade, shoulder blocks in the corner, and a lariat, and then a seated drop kick for 2 by Perry. Excuse me. Yano fighting back, but Perry gets the snare trap on Yano. Yano fights, gets to the bottom rope. Perry kicks Yano out to the floor. Yano runs Perry into and over the barricade. Yujiro gets the handcuffs, but Yano gets Yujiro cuffed to the barricade. And Yujiro's like, shit. Yano stops the super kick in the ring, hits that rebound belly-to-belly suplex that he does. It's just that snap of it looks so good. Mm-hmm, the guy's an incredible wrestler. He doesn't play to that much. Mm-hmm. Perry runs into the exposed corner. Yano gets a couple roll-ups. Perry gets a kick, but Yano with the inverted atomic drop and then the slingshot into the exposed corner. Yano hits the spear to the back and then gets a schoolboy for 2. Katamaru then comes out. Perry takes out the ref. Katamaru and Perry attack Yano, but Yano low blows them both. Goes for the pin, but Yujiro has escaped the handcuffs, pulling him out. Yano looking at Yujiro, he's getting his face saying, like, haha, I fooled you. I had the key the whole time. And this is where Perry ends up low blowing Yano. Perry hits the running knee to the head and gets the win. And then they said after the match, they cuff Yano and Perry stomps on him. Yeah, this match happened.
Oh, also, don't forget, after the match, they yelled at Marty Asadi. And remember, I mentioned on last episode of Purus Review, I really do hope that Marty Asadi is paid enough, because he took a back body drop onto the barricade after this match from Yujiro. Yeah. And he took that hard. Like, Marty's a little guy, even in comparison to Yujiro. Yujiro's not terribly huge, but he's also not terribly tiny either.
He ain't tiny.
No.
He ain't the junior, that's for sure.
Yeah, this I was not excited to see this, especially because, like, Yano, I already kind of have a love-hate relationship with him. I have to be in a certain mood to be able to stomach the things that he does. But like House of Torture, I mean, you're never in the mood to stomach the kind of torture they do. I will say in this match, though, I think I noticed something interesting about Perry, which was that he started to have a little bit more of that Healy personality, which I actually kind of like. But I think there's a big confliction going on because now we're kind of seeing people cheering for him. And he looks a little perplexed. And it's like, same, like he's a heel. You're supposed to be booing him. But we're kind of having that almost, I don't want to say stone cold kind of thing going on, but it's like he's starting to develop that heel love. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that might not be so good for him in the long run with House of Torture, because there's just no love. No love whatsoever there.
No love for House of Torture.
No. But again, I do like to see the development of
he's actually bringing something out. And I think a lot, like, Yano is a really good guy, because this guy is he's charisma, like, unchained.
Yeah.
But, and again, when a guy has a lot of charisma, you can draw it out of somebody who doesn't. Mm-hmm. Just a local, again, nothing against Tommy Billington, but, like, when we saw him go with Son of Irish there, Cody Garcia, like, mm-hmm. I saw a side of Tommy Billington I don't think we'd ever seen before.
No. So, he was matching Cody on Cody's expressions, and Cody is already a very expressive wrestler.
So, again, and that's where I think really benefited Perry to be in the mm-hmm. ring with Yano, who is very expressive and charismatic, so mm-hmm. it works for the back and forth between the two. Uh-huh. We'll talk about his second round matchup in a couple minutes here, but yeah.
Yeah,
if he can keep giving us this, I'm excited for what Jack Perry can do.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It's weird to like circle back to what we said about House of Torture earlier. It's weird how each individual seems to get this amazing character development on their own, and as a faction, it sucks. Like, it's just weird because like this had a lot of potential. Again, no shenanigans. This could have been a great match. I would have accepted all the outside stuff being that the House of Torture people weren't there. Yeah. They were there. And they take away from the viewership in the moment.
I agree with that. 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, it's... I just spilled my drink. when my water bottle gets really cold and I open it up, like, water will spill out. It was in my car when it was cold. So... thanks. Great. But yeah, again, we'll see where this all goes with Perry. Because again, we'll talk about his opponent in a minute here, or in a few minutes here. Because
I'm scared.
Me too. Because his opponent comes out of the next match here. Yoshihashi, who has a weird charisma to him. Versus the blandest top champion in New Japan history, in my opinion.
Smelt free soda cracker.
I will say that Scott Norton was more charismatic than Sonata. And he was the IWGP champion at one point. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah, back in the 2000s, that mid to early 2000s era. Oof.
Yeah, knowing that is kind of like do we go with worse or do we go with worser?
Yeah, he's Sonata's worser. his ring far superior, but his personality and character, oof kabush. Oof kabush. That Italian coming out. And I don't even have
okay.
I don't even have Italian blood in me. Oof kabush.
I'm not going to lie. That doesn't sound Italian.
It's the best I can do.
You sound oof kabush. It sounds like you're saying borscht.
Oof kabush.
Jesus. Take us into it, sir.
Sonata versus Yoshihashi. Yoshihashi just looking like a child wearing Daddy Goto's armor. Is really what it feels like. Like he borrowed it from his dad.
I'm telling you, that gear was made for a sumo and he stole it.
Yeah. And the other question with gear, did Sonata raid Uemura's closet?
That was his Wrestle Kingdom gear, yeah.
Yeah, but it looks like what you, because this dude's usually just in his basic blue, and Uemura is the one that usually has the flair, and the, especially with the, that color. And I'm like, fuck, he stole Uemura's next set of gear.
Remember that old fashioned stole, fashion police?
Yeah,
they had a little bit on there. Bitch stole my look. This is not my favorite gear of Sonata's. I just don't. It's a, like an orange gear with like a red, not holographic, but like a holographic design over top of it.
Well, it's that shiny design. It's that shiny.
Yeah, it's like a metallic red over top of an orange base, and it's not my favorite. Just the color combination in general is not my favorite, but it does. Matches tone, like his skin tone a little bit, so it almost kind of blends in a little bit. And the white
better than the blue,
so don't I like the blue better.
No.
I think that the blue and the blue entrance gear, even though the creepy hand is a creepy hand, I'm not a fan of the orange gear on him. I think it reminds me of like Sheamus's United States title gear. Remember the red trunks that just blasted his skin tone, made him look way more pale. Same kind of comparison. It's just, yeah, it's not my favorite.
I just, this match happened. And I'm so tired of the blue gear on him though. It just, he needs
some variety. I get that.
Maybe Melwell purple will work for him.
Maybe that'll get
you to come back to Sonata's side.
Love that.
Basic back and forth wrestling at the start. Sonata gets Yoshi in the paradise lock, drop kicks him in the butt to unlock it. Sonata in control. Yoshihashi attacks the knee, goes to work on it. Yoshi gets Sonata draped on the ropes, hits the drop kick to the back and gets a two count. Yoshi gets the chops, but Sonata reverses a whip into the Russian leg sweep. Sonata with the drop kick, sending Yoshihashi to the floor, hits the plancha to the floor. Yoshihashi gets off the shoulders of Sonata and goes for a powerbomb, but Sonata gets the Hurricane Rana, but Yoshihashi comes back and hits a headhunter. Like in the ring, these two are good. It never sucked me in. As I talk about the match, it's actually a well wrestled match. It's just I never really got into it. It's just these two. The charisma vacuum with the man with the weirdest charisma didn't mix, man.
What happened with this one that I have noticed happen a few times, both locally and in like the shows that we watch here for NJPW and Stardom, there was a disconnect with the crowd and thus a disconnect with me, the viewer, because usually Sonata is like staring into the cameras when he's doing his moves. He didn't do that. And he's usually, if anything that he's doing, that's going to be his charisma pull in, is connecting with somebody somewhere. Mm. And there was no connection happening. Like these guys were kind of like Yoshihashi would do his fire up, like scream thing that he does to get the crowd going. But I feel like those tiny moments weren't happening very often, and they were only happening from Yoshihashi. I felt like Sonata, I don't know, maybe was focused on trying to win the match. I don't know, but there did seem to be a disconnect from the fans that were there versus what was happening in the ring.
Yeah, I can agree with you on that. So Yoshihashi gets a chop in the corner, hits the running powerbomb for two, applies the headlock into the front chancery. Sonata stops the suplex, gets Yoshihashi up, hits the TKO. They're both down. Sonata gets the moonsault into the skull end. but Yoshihashi ends up rolling him up. Sonata gets the skull end again, but Yoshihashi rolls like, man, but Yoshihashi threw into a knee in the head. Yoshihashi got up and hit a knee to the head. Skull end. That's so weird. That was such a weird way to write that. Sonata reversals. Sonata does some reversals with Yoshihashi, and Sonata gets the skull end. Yoshihashi gets to the ropes, but Sonata pulls him back to center. Yoshihashi's fading away, but Sonata, the dumbass that he is, breaks the hold. When the guy's about to pass out, you break a hold? Are you dumb? And goes for the moonsault, but lands on the knees of Yoshihashi. Yoshihashi gets a small package for two. Dude, just hold on to the skull lid. Like, he was almost out. They trade strikes on their knees up to their feet. Sonata drops Yoshihashi with an uppercut. Then Yoshihashi drops Sonata with a hard chop. Sonata stops a suplex, gets Yoshihashi on the ropes for the magic screw. Sonata follows up with the Shining Wizard, but Yoshihashi stops deadfall, hits an MX. But Sonata hits the Shining, it comes back with another Shining Wizard. Sonata goes up, hits the moonsault, but can only get two, or as they call it, the rounding body press, but can only get two. Yoshihashi stops deadfall again, hits a dragon suplex, then the lariat. Both men are down. They each reverse each other. Yoshihashi gets a super kick and then the running meteora, but can only get two. Yoshihashi hits the big lariat, then hits Kuma Garoshi, but Sonata kicks out of that 2.9. Yoshihashi goes for Karma, but gets reversed into the skull end, which gets reversed into a suplex super kick style move. It was weird. Like, he suplexed him up and then let go and super kicked him. It was weird, but I like it. Yoshihashi goes for Karma, but Sonata reverses into deadfall, and Sonata gets the one, the two, the three. He moves on to face Jack Perry in a Forbidden Door rematch. Let's talk about the match, and then we'll talk about a second round.
I mean, the disconnect was the biggest thing that I had on this one. I also share your frustration when Sonata let go and went up for the moonsault, because how many frickety fracking times have we actually seen that work out for him?
Like, one out of every 100 times, maybe?
It doesn't work. Remove this from your arsenal, because I'm at home losing my shit every time I see him go up for the moonsault. I'm like, no, stop, please. Otherwise, this match was pretty okay. It was better than what we had to deal with beforehand. I'm trying to figure out, though, if it was better or maybe worse than Shingo and Yuya. I would actually put Shingo and Yuya probably above this.
Yeah, not by much, but they're above them, yeah.
Yeah, like points. Mere fractions of points. This one was a rough one. This one was a rough one on paper and a rough one in the ring. Because, like, in ring, they perform everything very, very well. Again, they're just, for me, felt like there was a disconnect, and therefore I couldn't feel invested in what was going on. And again, that's just a charisma issue. And when you have someone who has, again, as you said, that weird charisma in Yoshihashi and then no charisma, if at all, some subtle charisma from Sonata, it's just, where's the energy coming from? Mm-hmm. I don't even remember who was reffing this. It would have had to have been the ref. Oh, Red Shoes.
Always Red Shoes in the main.
Yeah, I was going to say Red Shoes. And I'm trying to remember. I don't remember any pivotal moments with him in this one either.
That's not a bad thing, though.
No, because the refs, you know, their job is to not be seen until they're needed to be. And that's fair. But, like, what was being seen at this point? You know, let's move it on.
So yeah, second round, we have Sonata versus Jack Perry. Oh boy. Forbidden Door last year. that was
hard. Good.
In ring, they had a good match. If you look at just purely by the in-ring quality, yeah, good match. And that's what I expect in ring, good quality. Like, Yoshihashi and Sonata, good in-ring match. Just it never got me into them. And I feel like Sonata's only gotten worse in getting you into the character. And then while Perry has evolved a little bit since that time, he benefits from people who are very charismatic, working with Luchasaurus, working with the people he worked with in AEW, and taking shots at CM Punk when you put a guy into real glass. That helps you. But it's when he doesn't, when he has a Sonata, how is he going to play off that? Like, I don't know.
This is as weird as this is, like, this makes me want to throw up in my mouth a little bit. Is House of Torture going to save this match?
Yeah, because weirdly, what's almost going to make this match exciting is what kind of interference you get from the other members of House of Torture. That is so fucked up.
Yeah. Like, I'm kind of fearful. But now that I'm thinking about that, it's like we have seen a development in character from Perry since joining House of Torture, and we've only seen two matches out of him. So that to me is pretty impressive. I hope that they come up with something really good for this match, because I am very fearful of what could happen. But this is also an opportunity for them to kind of erase that Forbidden Door match from our memory and replace it with this one, which is what I hope we do.
On night number 5, first round of the second, I went 2 for 2, baby.
Oh, your bragging rights are funny.
They mean nothing. They mean absolutely nothing. But at least I can say I picked the matches right.
Hey, I mean, let's do it. Let's go. Victory.
It's true. But yeah, it's we'll see. And then, like I said, we have coming up, we have David Finlay versus Tangaloa. We got Chase Owens versus Hiroki Goto. We have Evil versus Hikuleo. We have Shingo Takagi versus Gabe Kidd. We have Yota Tsuji versus El Fantasma. We have Brandon Rita versus Zack Sabre Jr. That'll all be coming up on a show coming out on, if depending on when you're watching this upcoming weekend or when you're listening to this. This upcoming weekend, we're going to record it probably on the 16th or 17th. We'll get it recorded and out to you as soon as possible after that. Because I've already watched the matches from yesterday, the 12th. And I still have to watch, as we're recording, it's the 13th. So I still have to watch today's matches, which I'll do after this. But we still also got to record some Stardom. Because our Cinderella tournament is dropping on Stardom World today. The first round, I think, is dropping today on Stardom World. So we're going to be talking about the first round matches. And then also the second round match will be out in a day or two. So we're going to be talking about all that. I've already seen part of the first round due to finding a pay-per-view copy. But again, lots coming up over the next three weeks or so. I mean, a lot of content coming at you. This New Japan Cup's going to be over by the 20th. So it's over by a week today. As we record this, is the final day, is the finals, is on the 20th. So a lot of, we're going to have a lot of, some of these shows will be coming like after the finals are over. We're going to try to get as much to you as possible. We're covering the other six matches in the second round on the next show. And after that, we'll be covering the, all the quarterfinals and all the semifinals and then the finals as a whole show. So expect the semifinal show to be kind of short. Because we're probably just going to be talking about the two matches, plus whatever Just Five Guys does.
Doki Choki Watch.
Yeah, the Doki Choki Watch here on, here on this show.
Uroresu Review.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. But what an exciting time to be a wrestling fan, hey?
It is. But I think it's time for us to get out of here. Mm-hmm. So before we go, I'm going to let you know where you can find us. You can find me on Xbox and on Blue Sky and Hive at That Canada Guy, TikTok, Instagram, and Threads at That Canada Dude. You can find me on Facebook at Andre Melball Wrestling Talk. You can find me on our YouTube page, youtube.com/@ Andre Bell and Melball Wrestling Talk. If you want to send us anything there, you can also find us over at SundayNightsMainEvent.com in audio form. Thank you so much to our friends over there, Boris and all the crew there. Thank you so much for bringing us on board. We love doing shows for you guys. If you're listening to us in audio form, please give us a big old like on whatever podcast catcher you have. Give us a 5-star review. If you want to support Sunday Night's Main Event, go to patreon.com/SNME Radio for only, I think it's $1 a month. This is, I think it's $1 a week. So it's $4 American, $6 Canadian. I don't know what it is in any other country. You can support SNME Radio on Patreon. Get lots of great content going out over there. So check them out. Also, you can find me tonight as we're recording this. I'm going to be on OLE talking with my boy Ol Ed. Our Marvel talk is this live Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Mountain, 10 p.m. Eastern. It will be replaying on the YouTube page at youtube.com/@ourlocalestablishment. Go check that out if you're, because I'm getting we're going to be dropping this in the evening, so you're probably watching this after I've done that live stream. Go check that out on our YouTube, on the YouTube page over at Our Local Establishment. We're talking the Captain America, the first Avenger movie, the precursor to the actual Avengers movie, which is will be up next after this one. Looking forward to talking that. It's a strong, strong movie. It's probably the second best movie, not including the Avengers, of all the single character movies in the first phase. It's just shy of Iron Man for me personally. But yeah, absolutely tremendous. And then one more thing, want to shout out our boy Mike the Ref over up here, Backbreaker Video. Thank you so much for supporting all our great content and rebroadcasting our stuff a week afterwards. Thank you so much, my friend. You can find all his great wrestling content over at youtube.com/@Backbreaker Video. Stuff from us. There's lots of great archived Alberta independent wrestling content over there. One of my favorite matches I've watched in my life, Michael Richard Blaze versus Giselle Shaw. Current TNA wrestler Giselle Shaw is on there with Mike's commentary. Absolutely tremendous match. And you might even get a cameo from this guy at the start of the video when he's ring announcing that match. Lots of great content over there. I know he reposts Astro Pizarro stuff there. Lots of great content going on over at Backbreaker Video. So check it out, youtube.com/@Backbreaker Video. You can also find Mike's live content with the AEW Watch Longs, which go to Backbreaker Video. He does these AEW Watch Longs every Wednesday and Saturday, and he'll be covering all the pay-per-views going forward at twitch.tv/MikeTheRef. And if you want replays of all the gaming content that he does over on Twitch, go to youtube.com/@Backbreaker_gaming, where you can find content from him, Mr. Rick Jules, Mr. Pete J C, and their freaking guests who will be there tonight for the AEW Big Business live stream. His partner in crime, the wonderful Kayla J, will be joining him, and she is on that network, and she is awesome. Kayla J. Let's go, Kayla J. I'm looking forward to watching that tonight. I might actually force Ed to go a few minutes later, because I'm probably gonna watch right to the end of Big Business, because I want to watch the whole show as a whole. So I'll probably force him to start Marvel Talk a few minutes late, just because I'm gonna watch AEW tonight.
Well then.
Yeah. Melville, where can they find you?
If you're wanting to follow Melville, you can find her on the X thing at Collins Melville. You can find her on everything else, hypothetically TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Mastodon, and Blue Sky at Melville Collins. I don't know. There's been a ban put on in the U.S. I don't know if that affects me. We'll talk about it after.
Oh, I have no idea what's happening.
Where was I? You can also find me, and you didn't mention on Andre and Melball's Japanese wrestling update.
I was leaving that for you.
I see what you're doing there. Japanese wrestling update on Our Local Establishment on Fridays. It's going to be a pre-recorded episode this week. So Melball's going to a show, and Andre needs sleep. It's happening.
The next 3 weeks is going to be pre-recorded due to our schedules.
Wrestling, 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 wrestling. Mm-hmm. We like wrestling. In case you guys didn't know. in case that's news to you. Yeah. That'll be going on 8 p.m. Mountain Time on our local establishments, Twitch and YouTube. You can also catch me on Astro Pizarro's YouTube channel where we do our show, Ladies Wrestling Showcase, all about the ladies. We've got a show coming out soon because, gosh dang, we have a lot to talk about. Lots been going on. New champions made, new things coming up. We got to talk all about that. So stay tuned to our socials to hear about when we are having that. If you're wanting to watch New Japan Wrestling, we will leave a link in the description box below. It is njbwworld.com. It is 999 yen, or approximately 10 Canadian. Shout out Sean Spears and congratulations being back on NXT, but it's more like 750.
The claw.
For now.
The claw.
For now. But it is still an amazing price to watch some amazing professional wrestling. So go check that out. Andre, my trusted friend and colleague, do you have anything else to say to the beautiful people?
Again, I just want to say thank you for all your great support, whether you're supporting us on SNME Radio. If you are, please like the podcast on your podcast catcher and give us a 5-star review on whatever podcast catcher you do listen to us on. And if you want, support them at patreon.com/SNME Radio. And if you're watching us on either Backbreaker Video or on your Mobile Wrestling Talk, please give us a like the video. Please like the video, subscribe to the channel, comment down below, because we love talking to you guys. We love responding to all your great comments, talking about what we talk about in professional wrestling, giving us ideas about anything else to do with Japanese professional wrestling that we haven't talked about. And also, please share us out. Tell your friends, family, strangers, aliens, weird creatures from the fourth dimension, whatever it is. Please share us out. And don't forget to hit that notification bell so you can be alerted every time we drop a new video.
Ding dong.
I don't want to answer. They might be from the fourth dimension.
I was gonna say you just mentioned in dimensions, and now I'm scared.
But we wouldn't be able to perceive people in the fourth dimension because it wouldn't make any sense to us.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
2D is a flat plane surface. 3D is what we see and existed, mm-hmm. And then 4D is what exists around us, essentially.
This is already above my pay grade in life. And that being said, I am your Mel Ball. Over there is Andre. We will see you next time. Adios.